Welcome to The Book Show. Emma Straub's novels are known for their warmth, wit, and emotional clarity. She's a best-selling author and co-owner of Books Are Magic in Brooklyn. In her latest, American Fantasy, she sets her story on a cruise ship dedicated to a beloved 1990s boy band, where thousands of fans gather for a week of nostalgia-fueled celebration. Among them is Annie, newly single and uncertain about what comes next. Emma Straub joins us on The Book Show. Welcome to The Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. Emma Straub has built a devoted readership with novels that blend humor, empathy, and a sharp understanding of how people change over time. The New York Times bestselling author of The Vacationers, Modern Lovers, and This Time Tomorrow is also the co-owner of the Brooklyn bookstore Books Are Magic. Her new novel, American Fantasy, unfolds aboard a themed cruise devoted to a wildly popular 1990s boy band, an immersive, slightly surreal floating world where fans relive their teenage obsessions. Straub captures both the absurdity and the sincerity of fandom. It is a great pleasure to welcome Emma Straub back to this week's book show. Emma, it's always a kick to have you on the program. Thank you for being here.
It's always a pleasure. Happy to be here.
You know, I use the word delight, but this book is delightful. There's just so many aspects of this that are just delightful. And I'm curious as to your mindset taking on this project. What led you in this particular direction?
It was exactly that. I was in search of delight. I was in search of pleasure. So it was the fall of 2022, and I had just finished my book tour for This Time Tomorrow, which was a novel all about my father, you know, that I wrote while my father was dying, really. And my father died that September, a few months after the book came out. And I had just been sad. I had been sad. I had been grieving for years, really. And I just wanted to give myself the gift of pleasure and joy. Because, you know, as a writer, it's not just you, when you commit to a project, it's such a long it's such a long commitment, because it's you know, it's the conceptualizing, it's the thinking, it's the writing, it's the revising, it's the editing, it's the publishing, it's the book tour. And I had just been in that sad space for so long. And I just thought, okay, well, what can I do? Like, how can I give myself sort of the inverse experience? And that's when boy bands just fell into my lap.
So the book, the name of the title of the book is American Fantasy. That is also the name of the ship where this cruise takes place. It is a 4-day themed voyage where five members of this boy band, and they have aged mm-hmm. since their prime of the 80s and 90s, and all of these screaming women come on board to idolize all their favorites. The concept of it is so perfect because it just rings through, it just all makes sense right away, right? I mean, it just you can put yourself in that moment and say, oh, okay, this is what this would be like. And then you take your spin on it, which is again just delightful.
Thank you. Yes, that I thought so too. I mean, I sometimes novels show up in pieces, where I'll have sort of one aspect of it, and it sort of takes a while for the pieces to come together and sort of cohere into one sort of novel idea. But with this, it was really like snapping together parts that I already understood. It was the compressed timeline. It was the ship, gave you only so many places to roam. the cast that couldn't grow because they were already on the ship, and unless somebody jumps overboard, they're stuck there together. I had it all. I had it all at once. And then I just got to play.
The playing is really the fun of this, and you really tackle with this nostalgia of what this is, where it is nostalgia, where it isn't, and what exactly that means, how something can happen to you when you are 13, 14, 15, 20, however many years old, and still stay with you when you're in your 40s, 50s, or later. And be such a part of your life as if nothing has changed.
Yeah, we had my book launch here in Brooklyn, and my oldest friend, my most longest serving friend, I will say, my best friend from when I was 4 years old was there. Having her there, when we think about nostalgia or when we think about things that matter to us, like we take it seriously that, your childhood, what happens to you in your childhood has long-lasting effects on you, right? Whether it's your, I don't know, your birth order and your family, or just how you're raised, or whatever it is, thing your childhood is important, right? I think we know that now, but why do we not take seriously what happens slightly after that, especially for girls? Teenage girls and preteen girls could power the sun. I really believe that most profoundly. And yet, people really do not take seriously the passion of young girls. Now, this may be slightly different now with the advent of Taylor Swift, and that big business understands now that little girls come with like big dollars, like that there is like there are literally billions of dollars to be made off
Right.
of these the affection of young women. But I have always really taken that seriously. And I so for me, like, I think of my relationship with my boy band of choice very much the same way I think about my best friends from childhood or my sibling relationships. Like, these were things that were absolutely foundational to me as a person. And part of this book is me wanting to honor that. The book is about this character now in her, she's 50 and the men are in their 50s. So it's not about wanting to go back in time. It's not about wanting to be a teenager again, but it is about sort of honoring the person you were before.
One of the things that I think is great, that the name of the band is Boy Talk. The women and those who are attending this cruise are referred to as talkers, and they are rabid fans. And you put this together. What's interesting to me is that they seem like this is a necessary evil. For the most part, to be on this, but it's something that keeps the flame alive. And for the women attending, mostly women attending, it is something that is almost, in many cases, an annual event where they go and they know the drill. They've been there before and they're doing it again because they have a great time.
Yeah, so I went on a New Kids on the Block cruise as part of my research for this book. And what I found really profound and quite moving once I sort of understood it was that the women on this cruise, that this was something that they do, probably the only one of the only things that they do that is ab only for them and only for their own pleasure. You know, like I'm 45 and I have two children and two bookstores and a husband and a mother and in-laws and responsibilities. And I went on the cruise as research. Like if I hadn't gone for research, I would not have gone. You know, if I had gone anyway, I would have enjoyed myself, but I feel like it is so hard for me to prioritize my own fun right now. You know, like I've got children's birthday parties that I have to get presents for, and like, you know, it's everything is too complicated and too busy, but that's what these women are doing. These women have put aside their work, their children, their responsibilities, their sorrows for 4 days. And for these days, they are going to just like scream with pleasure. And I love it. I love it. I think that we should all take a page from this book. And like really, like no matter how silly it is, whatever it is that you love, you know, whatever it is that you love, if it's birding, if it's boy bands, if it's ice hockey, you know, who cares? Just go and do it just for fun, for days with your friends, you know? That's what I'm gonna try to do in my middle age.
Emma Straub is our guest on this week's book show. The name of the book is American Fantasy. It is published by Riverhead Books. The way this is set up is brilliant to me in that the main character is Annie, and Annie is newly divorced. She's 50 years old, and she empty nester and is out in the world. Now she's supposed to go with her sister. And then her sister can't go, and she goes alone. Not only does she go alone, but then she's paired with someone else to roommate with, who is a seasoned hand at the boy talk, as a talker, a
Yeah.
boy talk cruise. And that just seems to set everything because you have this person who is a little bit leery of the whole thing, and then bunking with somebody who is the rabid fan.
Yes.
And hilarity ensues.
I didn't want to have too many points of view in the novel, you know. So there's Annie, there's Keith, who's one of the members, and then there's Sarah, who works for the cruise. But I did want to make sure that we got a little bit closer to one of the hardcore talkers, because that is, you know, something that I have discovered about fandom, particularly like aging fandom, I would say, like adult fandom. You know, there are rivalries. There is sniping, you know, there is jealousy. You know, things get a little bit tense sometimes, things get a little bit complicated. In a funny way, people are competing as if, you know, these men are their property or their boyfriends or you know, whatever. But these women, these hardcore fans really do take it extremely seriously, and there are these sort of feuds and things, and I definitely wanted that in there. because I think it's fun. I knew I didn't want, I mean, and Myra, who's Annie's roommate, I wanted her to be, sort of a bad girl, because those are the most fun friends to make, the ones who,
Right.
like, you never really know what they're gonna do next.
Now, the guys themselves, the members of Boy Talk, and look, history has shown us this of these boy bands, but it's a difficult life of having that much success so early on, and what happens to it as you age. You try to reclaim some of that or to continue it as much as you can. And as you point out in the novel, that's really, really hard to do.
Yeah, I do think that fame should be outlawed for people under the age of about 27. I really do. I think that it's so difficult to wrap one's mind around, no matter what age you are, because you enjoy being celebrated for the work that you're doing, of course. But gosh, it is so complicated, especially with something like this, where, like, boy bands, where people are literally, like, tearing sheets out of magazines that have your face on them and hanging them on their wall. Like, it's just how creepy to imagine, I mean, my sons are 10 and 12 now, which is not much younger than most boy bands start,
Right.
and the idea of them being objectified in that way is absolutely horrifying to me. And I think it is scarring for many of these men. And I think they all experience some major, arrested development, because how could they not? They're not really allowed to move through the world normally. And I wanted to find out, like, I wanted to think about, like, what does that look like 40 years later? Does it, are they suffering? Maybe. Do they enjoy it? Maybe. I really got in there.
On that subject, it seems as though, with all of this adulation for 4 days concentrated on the to the confines of a cruise ship, that it's just adulation, adulation, adulation. And all of the members of the boy band sort of process this different and have different reactions at different times. But it isn't always. Even with that much love, it can be smothering and it can be concerning. And it also, in your telling, that it is a reflective point of, okay, what are we doing right now?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can say, it's overwhelming for it would be overwhelming for any of us, and I think that the waves of adoration are so large and so consistent and so, in many cases, aggressive, that I think it's hard not to imagine, these men wanting to retreat and get the hell out of there. But of course they can't, because they're trapped on a cruise ship, so the best they can do is maybe sneak a cigarette somewhere, or or disassociate on the floor of their cabin for a little while in a bathrobe. Which I think is how any of us would function if put in this position.
So I want to focus on two characters for a moment. We talked, of course, about Annie, who's on the cruise, but one of the members of the band, Keith, is really the one who seems to be having so many issues with this and is the emotional center, if you will, of really having trouble with the whole thing. And tell me a little bit about Keith, of how this character came about. someone who seems like a really good guy, but is still trying to process. And added to this, that the main person that he seems to be going up against within the band is his own brother.
Yeah, I mean, oh, I love Keith. I just do. I love my fictional my fictional boy band so much. Yeah, I mean, Keith, I think Keith is someone who if left to his own devices, would be a happy man who only sang, I don't know, at karaoke maybe, or maybe he was like in a wedding band or something like that. Like, he doesn't need the fanfare, he doesn't need the fame. He loves to sing genuinely, and he loves to perform, and he loves to bring pleasure to people. But I think it was fun for me to imagine how lopsided this sort of experience could be, or just how complicated, where, you could both feel gratitude, genuine gratitude to the people who have paid for your mortgage and your child's schooling and, the food in your refrigerator for the last 40 years, and want to get as far away from it as possible. And yeah, I think Keith is a gentle, he's a gentle guy. He's a gentle guy. And God, can you imagine working with your sibling for 40 years? I sure can't.
No. No one should be subjected to that. I love my siblings, but good Lord, there's just so much you can do. The other character that really struck me in this book is Sarah. And Sarah is the person who's putting this whole thing together on the cruise ship. She doesn't work for them, but it's for a company that is coming in and organizing this. And it is and she's a great character because she has to deal with all of the weirdness that's going around her. Meanwhile, she's just broken up in her relationship and trying to come to terms with that. And on top of it, there's just, yeah, all this weirdness as she tries. And a lot of it she has dealt with before, but some of it is new.
Yes, I mean, Sarah is really, my husband and I own a bookstore, Books Are Magic, and Sarah is really the character, I would say, who most comes out of my experience in working with and employing people in their 20s over the last decade, where I am surrounded every day by people in their 20s who are so much smarter than I am. They are so capable and evolved and terrific, and they mostly they humor me, they humor me. My inability to do basic things like make a spreadsheet or whatever. They are so patient with me. And they truly give me hope for the future of humanity. And I think that one thing about getting older is that your friends are getting older too. And so, most of my friends and my children's friends, parents, most of the adults that I interact with socially are, all 40 plus. But the people who are my colleagues at the bookstore are in their 20s. And I feel like I have been given access to this whole other world that I wouldn't know or understand otherwise. And that is definitely where Sarah came from. Sarah's gonna save us all.
She keeps the plate spinning. And the thing we were mentioning, Keith, but There's empathy there. She
Yes.
empathizes with these characters. They're members of the band she doesn't particularly like. And then there are the ones that, but she knows how to deal with them. She knows
Yeah.
how to get what she needs out of them. But also there is empathy and great understanding, which I thought was quite beautiful. Oh, what's with the costumes? So many costume nights. Is that a thing? Why do you need to dress up as Carrie if you're going to go on a boy band cruise?
Oh, because it's fun. I mean, the way I
Is
see
it?
it, yes. I mean, it wasn't, I did not have costumes, but I wished that I had. I mean, if you think about it, and I'm going to generalize, and apologies to the radio listeners if they take offense here, but who is it who plans the Halloween costumes? Who is it who decorates the house for holidays? Who is it who picks out the birthday party favors and organizes them all into little bags? It is middle-aged women. Middle-aged women run the universe. And on this cruise, the middle-aged women have turned their laser focus onto their own projects. And so they are using all of that expertise to pack costumes for every night. So you are gosh darn right, they've got costumes for everything. These women bring luggage that looks like they are about to set sail for 3 weeks across an ocean, but they're not. They're going to the Bahamas, for 4 days, but they have packed enough stuff for weeks. And it's because they change their clothes 4 times a day, because they can, and it's fun.
The other aspect, which I find funny in the novel, but also just in life in general, which is that, like, you think to yourself, okay, well, how many pictures of the guys do you need, right? So they're walking from their room to the buffet, you take a picture. There's
Oh, yes.
a photo time with them, you take a picture. They have a pajama party, you take a picture.
Oh, yes.
Everything has to be documented.
Yes, everything. And the answer to the question, how many pictures do you need? The limit does not exist. There will never be enough, never be too many.
And I think you say this in the novel that this is the proof, right? This is the proof to everyone else of what you did and what you accomplished.
Yes, and what you
Right.
saw with your own eyes.
The name of the new novel is American Fantasy. Ann Patchett says, "I can hardly remember the last time I read anything that brought me such pure joy." And I would agree with that. This goes back to what we were talking about, delightful. And it is such a joy to read this. It's such a joy to talk to you again. And I thank you so much for this novel. I thank you so much for your time. And it's just a great pleasure to talk to you again.
Thank you. I was so happy to do it.
Once again, Emma Straub is the author of the new novel, American Fantasy. It is published by Riverhead. Thanks to our producer, Sarah LaDuke. Write to us at book@wamc.org. The latest on national productions programs is available via the Airwaves newsletter at wamc.org and on social media at WAMC Radio. Bookmark us for next week. And thanks for listening for The Book Show. I'm Joe Donahue.